As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air all across America. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Moon Day, June the 20th, 2009. 2-hour broadcast to become vocal local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, lots of that. We're not even going to try for solutions today, but if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time. We're going to get happy today. Anyway, this is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can call in throughout the program at 512-904-8014 to join us live on air, or select option 2 and take Oracle with you on your live mobile. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. For those without internet access listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. A big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you all for broadcasting. Become vocal local. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065. And your calls are welcome. The market seeks normalcy in the face of a weakening U.S. dollar. We'll talk about that quickly and briefly in our market reports. Today is the 40th anniversary of the manned mission to moon. Fallacies exposed. We're going to spend most all of the broadcast playing with this one. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more for Moon Day. Let's go into those market reports out of New York City. Moon Day, July the 20th, 2009. Active trading, New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Quite a rebound in the marketplace today and over the weekend. Gold is trading up $16.30, trading at $954 even. That's a market improvement over last week's closing. The silver markets moved up also 26 cents, trading at $13.67 an ounce. The platinum is up $9 so far this morning, trading at $1,181. Palladium also up, joining the bandwagon there, getting on the bandwagon, climbing higher, $2 up today, $249 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $939.40 for the low. That was the basement that they climbed out of early today, $955.70 for a high. At $954, gold year-on-year is only down 60 cents from where it was a year ago for a 0.006% return on your investment. So it's a minus there, just a tiny one. But stick around. That number is going to continue to change. If it continues to rise and heads back towards the $1,000 mark, perhaps you will be remorseful that you didn't take advantage of this dip in the price of gold and fill up your money bag. The London gold fix this morning sets at $952.25, so we can see that we're $1.75 above that right now. How much higher gold will go today will just be dependent on whatever they set in the Ouija board, I guess. Nevertheless, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed Friday at 8,744. The NASDAQ closed 1,887. In the crude oil marketplace, 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude are trading for $64.14 a barrel, up 58 cents. The U.S. dollar index is off 44 basis points, 0.44, trading at 78.91, which has caused all of the rest of this market to go up. We'll be right back.
Hey folks, it's Tony Pax from the Animal Farm Radio Show, and I want to tell you about the company Totally Wicked. Totally Wicked is the leading online worldwide supplier of electronic cigarettes. An electronic cigarette, or e-cigarette, is an alternative to smoked tobacco products such as cigarettes, cigars, or pipes. It is a battery-powered device that provides inhaled doses of nicotine by delivering a vaporized liquid nicotine solution. In addition to nicotine delivery, this vapor also provides a flavor and physical sensation similar to that of inhaled tobacco smoke, even though no tobacco smoke or combustion is actually involved in its operation. Totally Wicked's products not only help a person to regulate their nicotine intake and creates a vapor resembling smoke, but it also looks like a cigarette, thereby helping the user with the psychological and physical habit of holding a regular cigarette. To find out more about the great product that Totally Wicked has to offer, please visit totallywicked-eliquid.com or email them at info@totallywicked-eliquid.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to Moon Day, July the 20th, 2009, our two-hour expose of this moon mission. I'm going to go into quite a bit of interesting stuff this morning. A lot of common sources and some unusual sources as well. But let's revisit and close out the market report for Moon Day, July the 20th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City. Gold was up $16.30, trading at $954 an ounce. Platinum, silver was up 26 cents, trading at $13.67. Platinum, palladium both up today. The Dow Jones again closed at 8,744 on Friday. The NASDAQ, 1887. The crude oil stands at 64.14. That's up 58 cents on the dollars or on the barrel so far today. And the USDX at 78.91 is a decline of 44 basis points, 0.44% in that basket of currencies. In our little basket of currencies, everything is up and up strongly today. The foreign exchange rates for today. Moon Day, July the 20th, the Canadian dollar moved up strongly. It's up 72 basis points, now trading at 91 cents U.S. The Mexican peso moved up 56 basis points, now back in the 8-cent range. So your Mexican pesos would be 8 cents each for U.S. The euro moved up almost a full point today, 100 points, I guess would be the proper way of saying it. It's up 0.90%. Trading at $1.42 for a euro. The British pound breaks over that 100-point move, 1.08% increase today at $1.65. The Swiss franc up also 0.83% or 83 basis points and is trading at 94 cents U.S. Now, that's up from the 92 cents that it was at last week. Anyway, all that aside, that's the market report for today. I don't know, let me see, I'm checking my stack here, make sure I don't have any market news. I don't think I do, and if I do, I'll cover it later. Got a lot more on the plate than that. Quite a number of years ago, I can't remember exactly when it happened, I would say someplace between 94 and 98, I really got into reading encyclopedias. I was reading the Encyclopedia Britannica, 1952 issue, and I went from the first volume at A all the way to Zwingli, ZZ. And for the first time ever in my life, I had read completely through a set of encyclopedias. That was quite a journey, but I had the time on my hands in the winter months to do it, living out in the country in the second story of a old Hammond barn my dad and I built back in the 70s. And as time went on, I continued to get other sets of encyclopedias and expand my library, and I just started buying books and reading books. And living out in the country, didn't have much else to do in the evenings, and so that's how I spent my evenings. And it just has kind of mushroomed into a sabbatical now of about 14, 15 years, where most of my time every day is spent in reading, but there's a lot that you can learn from simple sources, common sources. Especially reading encyclopedias, because the authors, a long time ago, not so much today, but the authors, each of the was a different author, writing most of these various and sundry articles. And the editors of the encyclopedias would look at the articles and check them for spelling and things like that, but I don't think that even the authors of the encyclopedias, the editors, would cross-check and verify all of the various and sundry articles, and so you find these little clues. A little clue here, a little clue there. And you start putting all these little clues together and you start getting a bigger picture of the world that we live in. This morning, well, before I go there, I'll finish out this thought. I started finding all kinds of anomalies and things in my understanding. I also expanded my knowledge considerably. It's one thing to go through life with a general day-to-day understanding of the world, but when you get done reading a set of encyclopedias, the hand that put down the book is a different hand than the one that picked it up. I can assure you of that. I've now got about 7 or perhaps 8 sets of encyclopedias and some partials that I've also read, if not entirely, at least substantially. And so, I came across an understanding, started having questions as I was reading about whether or whether we did not go to the moon. Now, my father was a pilot, an airlines pilot, multi-engine specialist, if you will. Started out flying the B-17 and B-26 Martin Marauders. He's flown a lot of other aircraft as well, the SA-16, the Constellation Tritail, Boeing 727 jets in Arctic service over Alaska as a bush pilot, Arctic bush pilot. DC-3s, DC-6, C-47, all that sort of stuff. And as I was closing out his estate, I went through all of his flight material and gained a whole bunch of information about airplanes, things that I didn't know before. He had all of the flight instruction manuals and things like that and all the training aids to learn how to fly a Boeing passenger jet. And I spread it all out and went through the manuals and got a mental image, anyway, of what it takes to fly one of those critters. He also had the B-17 and the B-26 flight manuals and the bombing instructions. I sat down and read through those. Well, I'll tell you what, a B-17 bomber is kind of like a farm tractor that flies. Pretty basic. Really simple. Generally speaking, didn't take a rocket scientist to be able to fly one of those critters, but they flew relatively low altitude. The Boeing jet flies much higher than that. But in this process, now that I've said all of that, in this process, I started to question whether or not it was possible for us to have gone to the moon when they said that we had. So today, I'm going to talk about the things that I've come up with, some of the things, the questions that I have, to get things started. I went up on the UK London Telegraph this morning. They have an article on the front page, or at least on their website, Moon Landing Anniversary, 10 Reasons the Apollo Landings Were Faked. And below, they say, is the list of 10 most popular reasons given by conspiracy theorists who believe that the Apollo moon landings that began 40 years ago were faked. And this was published July of 2009, the 14th of July. Number one, when the astronauts are putting up the American flag, it waves. There's no wind on the moon. Two, no stars are visible in the pictures taken by the Apollo astronauts from the surface of the moon. Three, no blast crater is visible in the pictures taken of the lunar landing. Four, the landing module weighs 17 tons, and yet it sits on top of the sand, making no impression next to the astronauts' footprints, which can be seen in the sand. Five, the footprints in the fine lunar dust with no moisture or atmosphere or strong gravity are unexpectedly well preserved, as if made in wet sand. Six, when the landing module takes off from the moon's surface, there is no visible flames from the rocket. Seven, if you speed up the film of the astronauts walking on the moon's surface, they look like they were filmed on Earth and slowed down. Eight, the astronauts could not have survived the trip because of exposure to radiation from the Van Allen radiation belts. Nine and ten will be picked up on the other side of this break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is going to get to be very involved.
Related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Have your house payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? You need help from MortgageFraudExaminers.com. To stop the housing crisis, Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages. The trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. MortgageFraudExaminers.com can help you get the leverage you need to turn things around. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages are legally deficient. MortgageFraudExaminers.com can perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. It's like CSI for your home loan. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating when faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. Find out how MortgageFraudExaminers.com can help you. Visit MortgageFraudExaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Hey folks, I've got a question for you. Do you force yourself out of bed each morning and drag throughout the day? Do you grab for that sugar pick-me-up only to later crash and feel even more tired? Well, I've got the solution for you. Put a zip in your day and zap your appetite. Reclaim your get-up-and-go with Zip and Zap. Let me tell you what you'll notice in immediate benefits. It ramps up your workouts. Well, if you work out. Turns off your hunger, elevates your mood, helps you to resist fattening foods, and gives you a smooth flow of energy with no crash. The testimonials? Colin in Illinois lost 30 pounds in 8 weeks, didn't work out. Susie in Missouri, 10 pounds in 20 days, she didn't work out. Anna in California did work out and went from a size 14 to a size 4 in 90 days. If you want results like this, working out or not, order Zip and Zap now and also ask about Lametco International's first line of defense products. Tell them Michael Herzog sent you. Call 1-800-933-2565. That's 1-800-933-2565.
Ed, we've returned once again. So a little closing 2 points from this UK London Telegraph article says again, rocks brought back from the moon are identical to rocks collected by scientific expeditions to Antarctica. And 10, all 6 moon landings happened during the Nixon administration, and no other national leader has claimed to have landed astronauts on the moon, despite 40 years of rapid technological development. Well, you could take a look at something like that, and you could say, yes, those are all very valid, I guess, arguments to be made. But there's only one, really, that's of import to us for today, and that is that the astronauts could not have survived the trip because of exposure to radiation from the Van Allen radiation belt of the ones that they've listed. Besides political and photographic flaws and whatnot, this is the most important to me. The others are obvious, but sometimes, you know, we have to remember that the old magician, he always wants you to watch his right hand while his left hand performs the trick. And so sometimes the distractions, if you will, with the photographics, the moon rocks, things like that, those become the focus of the issue. And the whole hoax can be exposed just on the basis of them. But there are technical aspects that lie behind it. Technical aspects that still face NASA and still keep us bound to the planet Earth. I remember a long time ago listening to a shortwave broadcast, and a lot of religious programming was available on the internet, on the international shortwave. And in one of the programs, I remember getting the thought in my mind that nobody leaves the planet Earth unless they have been called, and nobody arrives on the planet Earth unless they have been sent. And that had to do with angels and the bodily ascension of Christ and other things like that. But that thought has been very accurate ever since I started looking into things. Let's go a little further into this. Just very simply, out of the Encyclopedia of the Funk and Wagnalls, this is a 1970 edition. Let's see what year this one was actually published. 1972, but of course, there's been many, many variations or generations, but this is 1972, and here, in an article on exploration, there's a photograph of one of the astronauts supposedly walking on the face of the moon, and yes, indeed, you can see all the footprints very clearly, and you can see one of the struts of the space capsule, whatever it was, sitting there. And yeah, he's walking along, you know, anyway. So you don't see any stars in the background. Actually, in this particular photograph, I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, what could be stars or grains on the film in a black background. But the caption says, science fiction fantasy became reality, fantasy becoming reality, on July the 20th, 1969. Here we are 40 years advanced. When American astronauts Neil A. Armstrong and Edwin E. Aldrin Jr., shown in this picture, so this would be Ed Aldrin, supposedly, in this picture left the Apollo 11 lunar module and walked on the surface of the moon. So, there's a photograph and a caption in an encyclopedia published in 1973 that addresses or answers or points to some of the questions raised in this London Telegraph article. Here, in a 1958 encyclopedia, the World Book Encyclopedia, published 11 years before the event, is this simple little phrase. Physicists, this is in an article about radar, how radar works, physicists use radar to study the layer of air in the upper atmosphere called the ionosphere and the aurora borealis or the northern light. So they used radar in those days. At least this is what was being taught or told in these encyclopedias. They used radar to study the layers of the air in the upper atmosphere called the ionosphere. And so we've got this layer of air called the ionosphere. And what's that all about? In another encyclopedia, this also, the World Book Encyclopedia, and I shared a little bit of this on Friday. This one, published in 1968, 1 year before this famed event was supposed to happen, they have an article on air. And in the article on air, they have a photo, a color plate that's been inserted. And it says, air, the air or atmosphere surrounds the Earth. Scientists divide it into several layers, from the lowest to the highest. These are the troposphere, the stratosphere, the ionosphere, and the exosphere. And in this particular chart is useful, this graphic is useful, in that they say that the troposphere is where the weather occurs in the layer of air closest to the Earth. There, the temperatures of the air drops rapidly with increases in altitude. In other words, so it gets cold as you travel up in the troposphere. And that layer is supposed to run to about 10 miles above the Earth. 10 miles. For those of us who have ever run marathons or gone on bike-a-thons or things like that, you know that 10 miles is a half of the marathon, and it's not a very far distance. But when you start traveling up, 10 miles, of course, is in excess of 50,000 feet, and it was quite some time before aircraft flew at 50,000 feet, and there, according to this chart, the temperatures would be about minus 67 degrees Fahrenheit, and having grown up in Fairbanks, Alaska, I can tell you that minus 67 degrees Fahrenheit is cold. And it is so cold that sitting in an aircraft in the chair for any length of time, and you're going to be miserable in a real heartbeat. So they got the engines on the aircraft, and they're blowing heat in on the pilot's cabin, and so on and so forth. But it's cold. However, you go 30 miles above that, or out to the 50-mile range, from 10 miles to 50 miles, they call it the stratosphere, and there, the temperatures drop down to a minus 90 degrees Fahrenheit. The stratosphere warms up gradually to a temperature of about 30 degrees Fahrenheit near the top of the layer of the ozone. But initially, at about 50 miles out, it's minus 90 degrees. Again, you can think of the bodily ascension of Christ. You'd wonder why the creator of the universe would rise bodily when he knows what he's going to be dealing with. Then we come into the area known as the ionosphere in this chart. And the ionosphere, the little sidebar here says, plays an important part in radio communications. Radio waves that bounce off its lower level, or lower layer, can travel long distances. The aurora borealis also forms in this area. That's the northern lights. I've seen those growing up in Fairbanks, Alaska. But notice it says that radio communications, it's an important thing for radio communications because the radio waves bounce off the lower layers of the ionosphere. Now, we were using radar and we were using radio, but they would like us to believe that they were transmitting communications from the moon, and including TV, back to the Earth. The exosphere, the uppermost layer of the atmosphere, contains almost no air molecules. The temperature of the air increases steadily through the ionosphere to the lower limits of the exosphere, and in 300 miles above the Earth, the temperatures in that range can go anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You can imagine the grief if you happen to be sitting in a space capsule that was traveling about in the exosphere. Somewhere between 15,000 and oh the hell too damn hot. We'll be back in a moment.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
this two-disc DVD, Obama, Cloning, and the Coming Space War, Freeman takes you on a roller coaster ride of ancient technology and conspiracy, outlining the Obama administration's movement towards a military space program. Freeman will challenge your very sight as he postulates the theory that our first family may be clones of ancient pharaohs. Explore revelations of Lucifer, occult rituals hidden as political speech, and the acceleration of the weaponization of space for the coming world war. Who is this man we call the president? Will he cause a constitutional crisis? What's hidden within his name and his statements? Is Obama the Antichrist predicted by Nostradamus, or are things much stranger than they appear? Obama, Cloning, and the Coming Space War. This video will leave you staggered as to how all these possibilities could come true in one moment of time. Be ahead of the curve. Freeman makes projections that could alter the course of history. Get Obama, Cloning, and the Coming Space War now at FreemanTV.com. That's FreemanTV.com.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reed, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at SecretRightMovie.com. That's www.SecretRightMovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, so we can see that there's quite a divergence in the atmosphere, that there are things that are going on in the atmosphere that the average person doesn't understand or doesn't know about, but they're certainly not inaccessible. You can find it if you go and study around a little bit and look, and I spent quite a bit of time from Thursday thereabouts all the way through last evening late and early this morning bringing up more material on all of this. You can take this particular aspect of the study as deep as you like. You can go into astrophysics if you want and go on even deeper than that. But we won't go there quite so deeply today. Wouldn't make for good radio, as they say. But we need to understand also that part of this discussion about going to the moon and the back has to do with air, because we need air to live. We need air. We need to breathe air. And so, looking at the amounts of gases in dry air, you've got about 78% nitrogen, 21% oxygen. Argon makes up 0.93%, and other gases make up about 0.7%. And if you want to continue to respirate and survive, you're going to need to have quite a bit of oxygen every breath you take. You know, think about the amount of space you've got, the cubic inches in your lungs. Multiply that by 3 astronauts in a closed capsule, and then think about supplying them and refreshing and doing something with their exhale, making that constantly adjusting and utilizing that oxygen, that air inside the chamber there, keeping it the right pressure and all of their other things. There's a whole gob and a bunch of technology involved and all that, but it requires massive amounts of storage space, even compressed. It still takes space and it still has weight and volume. Then there's air pressure and things like that as well. Lots involved in all of that. So let's go in a little bit further here, because what we really want to do is to start thinking about the layers of the air, the atmosphere, and what's going on in there, because this alone unravels this whole discussion, in my opinion, researched as it is, about space travel, man leaving the planet Earth. But let's go on a little further here. Then it comes along and it talks about, it reiterates the four layers of the air, with the troposphere being discussed first. But then it goes into the stratosphere. The stratosphere extends from the troposphere to about 50 miles above the Earth. Its special features are a layer of ozone, where ozone seems to concentrate mainly between 12 and 21 miles up, and a warm layer just above that. The warm layer is probably created when the sun's rays hit the ozone. The sun's rays, the photons, and things like that. They're very important to this discussion. The lower stratosphere remains cold and clear, with a temperature over the United States of about 67 degrees Fahrenheit. Pilots of jet airliners, my father was one of those, prefer flying in the stratosphere, stratoliner, the stratojets, you know, all those early Pan Am aircraft, the Boeings and so on, so they can stay above thunderstorms and snow. Remember the Air France disaster there, where they came into a wall of thunderstorms and it was 150 miles wide, and my hair stood straight up as I was reading that article, because, you know, you just fly over the top of those. The upper atmosphere, or the upper stratosphere, is windy, even though it contains very thin air, this idea of thinning out the air, as the fewer and fewer molecules, you know, they aren't as densely packed as they are right here within a mile or so of the surface. The upper stratosphere is windy, even though it contains very thin air. The so-called jet stream may reach speeds of 300 miles an hour. And that's not very fast. But 300 miles an hour can change your course in a hurry, especially if you're traveling in a rocket. They usually come from the west, but winds from any direction may occur in the stratosphere. Scientists discovered these facts by watching the paths of meteors and experimental rockets. Travel up, they shoot a rocket up, an experimental rocket up, and it gets up into this area, and the jet stream gets a hold of them, and they just start to go off course. The ionosphere extends from 50 to 300 miles above the Earth. This layer, or this air layer, received its name from the ions that are found there. We're going to go into ions a little deeper in a moment. But ions are basically electrically charged molecules, or parts of broken molecules, and they form when air molecules are hit by rays coming from the sun, or when they collide with high-speed particles called cosmic rays. Meteors light up as they streak into the thin outer air of the ionosphere, and the aurora borealis, or the northern lights, sometimes glow there, and it goes on and on. Then it talks about the exosphere. The exosphere starts at about 300 miles above the Earth, and it is the last layer of the atmosphere and the beginning of space. Here there is so little air that there is hardly any air resistance. Keep that in mind. A few molecules of the air's various gases must be in the exosphere, but they're not packed tightly together. And it continues. Interplanetary space, the author writes, lies beyond the exosphere. Turning over, and it says... That's enough. Okay. So that covers those two. Let's talk to list just a little bit about these radiation, the ionosphere, ionization. This is out of the 1958 Field Enterprises World Book Encyclopedia, under article titled Ionization. Ionization is the process of stripping one or more electrons from an atom, and it's called ionization. Drop down a little bit in the article, it says radiation damage. Ionization is extremely important in injury to human tissue by radiation. Alpha, beta, and gamma rays given off by radioactive substances all produce ionization in the body. That's important as well, radioactive substances. When one rontgen of a radiation passes through living tissue, 2 billion ion pairs are produced in each cubic centimeter of the tissue. This ionization induces certain biochemical reactions in living cells which may damage them. So we have to be very careful about exposing ourselves to that form of radiation here. In an article on the radiation belts, this out of the Funk and Wagnall 1973, radiation belts or zones in space around the Earth containing high energy protons and electrons. And then it goes on and it talks about Geiger counters, but let's go into the article. A Geiger counter or a detector of charged particles installed in the first satellite, Explorer 1, launched by the United States on January the 31st of 1958. Wait a minute. The first satellite was launched on January the 31st of 1958, and then we immediately went to the moon. It gave the first evidence that the Earth is surrounded by regions containing charged particles of high energy. These radiations were then called the Van Allen radiation belts after Dr. James A. Van Allen of the State University of Ohio, who headed the team of scientists conducting the experiments. Further experiments performed in 1958 with the satellites Explorer 3, Explorer 4, Pioneer 3, and also with the two Soviet Sputnik 3s led to the hypothesis that two radiation belts surround the Earth, an inner and an outer belt, with the division between them lying at an altitude of about 4,000 miles. Now, of course, we've been talking up to now about 50 miles and 100 miles and 300 miles, and now we're talking about 4,000 miles, substantially further than these other articles discussed. But certainly, the moon is quite a further distance than that from the planet Earth. More data acquired from many satellite vehicles launched after 1958, however, changed the view of the composition of the belts. The two-belt theory is no longer accepted. Instead, it is thought that one continuous radiation belt extends from the Earth out to a distance of approximately 8 to 10 times the radius of the Earth, or that is to say somewhere between 32,000 and 40,000 miles. Certainly higher than the average satellite circles the Earth. The particles, protons and electrons, and their energies are not distributed uniformly throughout the belt, and the distribution changes with time. Investigation of the belt has been continued, but studies of the inner regions of the belt had been temporarily handicapped by residual radiation zones that were artificially generated when what? When a high-altitude nuclear test explosion was conducted in 1962. Well, that helps, I guess. So now we have a different kind of radiation. Now we have atomic radiation out there as a result of that high-altitude nuclear test. The charged particles that comprise the radiation belt are trapped by the geomagnetic field. Plot thickens.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
You invest, you buy insurance, you wear your seatbelt, you do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code ORACLE at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
And we've returned once again. We're just kind of laying out some very simple things, let you make up your own mind. As they say, we've said here on this broadcast many times, you know, you can listen to everybody and read everything, but believe nothing until you can prove it in your own research. And so you start to go down these various and sundry tracks to try and follow a thread to come to some understanding of whether or not the things that you hear on the public information systems, broadcasting systems, whether or not there's any truth or validity to them. Rather than just drawing my own observations and conclusions and analyses, I try and bring you the documentation that I'm using to come up with some of these ideas, these wild and philosophically radical concepts that we banty about here on Become Vocal Local. But again, this is simply right out of a common encyclopedia article published in the 70s. And this is on the Van Allen radiation belts, or radiation belts, in general. And it continues here, and it says that it is thought that one continuous radiation belt extends from the Earth to a distance of approximately 8 to 10 times the radius of the Earth, or that is to say, out to 32,000 to 40,000 miles. Of course, anything that's traveling out to 32,000 or 40,000 miles is going to be in exposed to that radiation belt. The longer, of course, that it stays there, the more damage will be done to all things on board and all the people. The particles, again, protons and electrons, and their energies are not distributed uniformly through the belt, and the distribution changes with time. And we'll talk a little bit about that in the second hour. Investigation of the belt has been continued, but studies of the inner regions of the belt had been temporarily handicapped by residual radiation zones that were artificially generated when a high-altitude nuclear test explosion was conducted in 1962, and I repeat that for the importance of it in our discussion. The charged particles that comprise the radiation belt are trapped by the geomagnetic field, or the magnetic field of the Earth, in a region around the Earth called the magnetosphere, the outer boundary of which is called the magnetopause. The shape of the magnetopause is affected by the solar wind, which is a highly ionized plasma of protons and electrons that stream outward from the sun with velocities of about 200 to 500 miles per second. Oh, yes, and we're going to find out more about that plasma wind that's out there, the solar winds. The radiation belt of the Earth and occasional storms in the solar wind may be hazardous to astronauts on space missions to the moon and the planets. You see, the author had to throw in his observation there in a closing sentence of the article. But there's much truth there. The radiation belt of the Earth and occasional storms in the solar wind may be hazardous to astronauts on space missions to the moon and the planets. Now, we don't need to go into radiation sickness and things like that. Just kind of file that away and keep that part in your mind as well. Radiation plays an important part in this discussion. We can take a look at just, well, how far away from the Earth is the moon anyway? Well, there's another little chart here in the Field Encyclopedia, later edition. This is the 70s edition again, looking at this is published in 1968. Certainly right on time there. But the moon is in excess of 100,000 miles from the Earth. 100,000 miles from the Earth. That's going to be important. But when we're thinking about that, distances and whatnot, realize and remember that we're not talking about a static universe. That not only is the Earth hurling around the Sun at a tremendous rate of speed, but the Moon is hurling around the Earth at a phenomenal rate of speed, and the whole shebang is going forward at the same time, or clockwise, or whatever it's doing, in the universe. There's a lot of motion going on. There's a lot of shaking going on out there. And we, if we were to use our brains intelligently, and certainly this particular article is going to play upon that, we can use the motion, the orbital motion of the moon, to help us reach the moon and other targets, especially in our solar system. If you think about it, once you break free of the stronger gravitational pull, of the planet Earth, which you're not going to do anytime soon. You're going to have to get out quite a ways to make that happen. But once you broke free of that, you're really going to need a set of brakes more than anything else, because if you time it just right, the moon will come right up and smash you like a mosquito if you happen to be in its way. So there is that advantage. Coming home, same sort of a phenomena. If you could break free of and get in the right place, all you need are a good set of brakes again, and you could just come sliding home on the planet Earth if all things were equal, and they're not. But anyway, so there's that aspect of it. Let's go over here. They go on and they talk about space travel. This is a really interesting and exhaustive article. This is many, many, many pages, because this is right in the middle of the programming that was necessary to get people to believe this hoax. And this is a huge, huge article. I'm sitting here holding, let's see, from 5721 all the way back, no, from 572 all the way back to 561. So we've got over 12 pages of plates and colors and photographs and real photographs and so on and so forth. And it talks about all of the various manned space flights and all of the developments of Goddard and everybody else, rocket flights to the moon, rocket flights to Venus, a manned trip to Mars and back, and they've got diagrams with circles and arrows and numbers, and my goodness, when a young person would read this, they would go, I understand, this all works perfectly, I can see how it happens. Of course, it hadn't happened, and it still hasn't happened in my opinion, but this makes for some pretty interesting graphics anyway. Here's another little bit on the radiation belts, this one again from the same article here. Radiation belts around the Earth may endanger astronauts flying to the moon and the planets. Scientists often consider the Van Allen belts as a single donut-shaped radiation belt. And then there's an artificial belt which was created by the test explosion of an atomic bomb. That was just the caption of this photograph, but it's very interesting. It probably doesn't quite work the way that it is shown in this picture. But it is an interesting thing that the planet Earth is protected by this radiation belt. And the universe, you might say, is protected against man leaving the planet. by the very same radiation belt. You're either the only people that come to this planet, or the only things that come to this planet are the things that are sent, and the only things that leave this planet are the things that are called. Anyway, continuing, radiation in space includes cosmic radiation, natural radiation such as Van Allen radiation, and an artificial radiation belt created by the high-altitude test explosion of a nuclear bomb. To protect the astronauts, a spacecraft must have proper shielding to block the radiation particles. The amount of shielding depends on the intensity of the radiation and on the length of time the spacecraft is exposed to it. However, radiation is not dangerous on or near the Earth. Important. Very important. We'll get to that when we get to the other aspect of this, which is looking at the space station. Now, what we haven't mentioned here so far is any discussion of the thermosphere. The thermosphere is a part of all of this, and this is really what piqued my curiosity long ago when I first came across it. And there's very brief articles and mentionings of the thermosphere in these various encyclopedias. But this, off of a website, www.science.uwaterloo.ca, atmosphere chemistry, it says. And in this particular article, which I've downloaded, printed off, it poses several things. It says, discussion questions. How do atmospheric scientists view the atmosphere? What gases are pollutants in the atmosphere? And then it continues. But it has a very interesting chart here, because it has the troposphere, the tropopause, the stratosphere, the stratopause, the mesosphere, and the mesopause, all happening below about 85, 74 to 120 miles max. And then they have a rest of the column, and it's huge, is the thermosphere. And in this chart, they show the space shuttle at about the halfway level in all of this. Nowhere near the top of it, and it's never been near the top of it, nor can it go there. But we'll pick that up on the other side. Hot tips, indeed.
Hey folks, it's Tony Pax from the Animal Farm Radio Show, and I want to tell you about the company Totally Wicked. Totally Wicked is the leading online worldwide supplier of electronic cigarettes. An electronic cigarette, or e-cigarette, is an alternative to smoked tobacco products such as cigarettes, cigars, or pipes. It is a battery-powered device that provides inhaled doses of nicotine by delivering a vaporized liquid nicotine solution. In addition to nicotine delivery, this vapor also provides a flavor and physical sensation similar to that of inhaled tobacco smoke, even though no tobacco smoke or combustion is actually involved in its operation. Totally Wicked's products not only help a person to regulate their nicotine intake and creates a vapor resembling smoke, but it also looks like a cigarette, thereby helping the user with the psychological and physical habit of holding a regular cigarette. To find out more about the great products that Totally Wicked has to offer, please visit totallywicked-eliquid.com or email them at info@totallywicked-eliquid.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And we are back once again right here on Moon Day, July the 20th, 2009, 2 hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. The phone call and phone number is 866-841-1065. If you'd like to call in at any time during the broadcast, you're welcome to do that. From the Austin, Texas area, you can also call in toll at your expense. It's a toll charge, 512-904-8014. Join us live on air. We're just kind of taking the time today because it is the anniversary, the 40th anniversary of what was considered to be a landing on the moon by man and a return. I don't think it happened. I haven't thought that it happened in a long time. But anyway, going through some of the very difficult questions, some of the things that are going to still need to be resolved by the Chinese if they're going to get to the moon and to the United States, if they're going to get back to the moon by 2020, so they say. Some really challenging questions, tough topics, if you will. But anyway, this thermosphere plays into this. And you're going to find a little bit about the thermosphere here and a little bit about the thermosphere there. But once you get deep into the science of astrophysics, once you start getting into the tracking what is thermosphere, you'll find that most of these other spheres start to fall away in the discussion, and most of the science is focused on trying to figure out how to deal with this thermosphere. There's a little bit more. This, again, out of the encyclopedia. I'm jumping around a bit here. On space medicine, astronauts also will meet new problems as they travel far enough to enter the radiation belts around the Earth. New problems as they go there. Let's go back to this and talk a little bit more about it. The atmosphere, atmospheric chemistry, that studies the chemical composition and the nature of atmosphere, the way gases, liquids, and solids in the atmosphere interact with each other and with the Earth's surface and associated biota, and how human activities may be changing the chemical and physical characteristics of the atmosphere. And then it just continues. It talks about how do atmospheric scientists view the atmosphere. For convenience of study, atmospheric scientists divide the atmosphere as if it consists of four layers. The division is mainly due to temperature variations as the altitude increases. The ionosphere, or aurora, or thermosphere, the mesosphere, stratosphere, and troposphere. Above 100 kilometers is the thermosphere and the ionosphere, where the temperature increases from 200 K. Anybody knows what the K stands for? I'd like to know. Haven't been able to find a good definition of the K. But once you get into the more technical stuff, they quit talking about degrees Celsius or centigrade and degrees Fahrenheit, and they start throwing this little K in there. I don't know whether it's just to confuse you or take you off course. But anyway, where the temperature increases from 200 K at 100 kilometers to 500 K at 300 kilometers, that does seem to be quite a jump, even if we don't know what the Ks are. We'll figure it out, though. The temperature goes even higher as the altitude increases. Activity as the altitude decreases. In the outer space, most particles consist of single atoms. And that's an important study. Because a lot of people say, well, you don't have to worry about how hot it is up in the thermosphere because their molecules are spread all apart. Well, that might be the case. And I even read one portion in an article that says that, you know, we wouldn't feel anything different because there's so few molecules that it's not like, you know, it's going to be blazing hot. Those little molecules might be hot. Well, perhaps they've forgotten that once the observer is there, their molecules are packed quite densely together. They're not going to have the same advantage. They're going to begin to increase in heat rather rapidly, one would think. We'll pick that up right on the other side. We're into the neutral thermosphere, the ionosphere, and the exosphere, and we haven't gotten close to the moon yet.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. You're using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Have your house payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? You need help from MortgageFraudExaminers.com. To stop the housing crisis, Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages. The trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. MortgageFraudExaminers.com can help you get the leverage you need to turn things around. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages are legally deficient. MortgageFraudExaminers.com can perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. It's like CSI for your home loan. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating when faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. Find out how MortgageFraudExaminers.com can help you. Visit MortgageFraudExaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
All right, so we can set aside this initial little inquiry here on this atmospheric chemistry, but understand that atmospheric chemistry plays a huge part in all of this. And we get down into some pretty complicated chemistry. All the weather phenomena, blah, 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 and it just continues that particular article. We'll set that one aside. Got some taxes stuff here. Now we go into the thermosphere. This is the Earth's atmosphere. This one was pulled down by me, 2003. www.schooltv.com, thermosphere. The thermosphere is the highest and the largest of the four atmospheric layers. Its name means heat sphere or warm layer. At the top of the thermosphere is the beginning of the space. The thermosphere contains only a tiny fraction of the gases in the atmosphere. It reaches a height of 600 kilometers above sea level. The thermosphere is remarkable for its electrical activities and range of temperatures, which is from below 0 degrees Fahrenheit to 2200 degrees Fahrenheit. That's rather warm. Just a little bit warm. Its lower boundary is the mesopause, and it continues. In the thermosphere, you can find the ionosphere. Oh, I skipped a part. It's important. The upper part of the thermosphere is the thermopause, and it's about 600 kilometers above sea level. In the thermopause, the temperatures may reach 225 degrees centigrade at night. 225 degrees centigrade at night. During a period of minimum solar activity during the day, it may reach 1475 degrees centigrade during a period of maximum solar activity. You can say these launch windows and things like that. You know, they talk about that launch window. You've heard that before. They're looking at the sun. They're looking at what's going on with the sun. We've had the very minor amounts of solar activity for quite some time as shortwave reception went to nothing. And that's important, too, by the way. You need the ionosphere to get the short waves to go up there, and FM doesn't do well there, and TV doesn't broadcast very well there either. I don't know how they do it. Well, I do. But we'll talk about low Earth orbits in a moment. So we can see that it gets very hot and that it's not constant. It has potential beyond understanding comprehension, but some of the scientists, and we're going to cover a little bit of that, do have a much better understanding of it today than they did when these flights were supposedly taking place. In the thermosphere, you can find the ionosphere. The ionosphere is an important region of the thermosphere. The ionosphere, ions are in the ionosphere, ions are found. Ions are electrically charged particles, blah, blah, blah. We've read that already, that kind of stuff. Energy that is radiated from a transmitter upwards towards the ionosphere is in part refracted or bent down again toward the surface of the Earth, so it does make communication with the Earth and the Moon rather difficult. And then it continues. Space environments and effects program, the SEA program, this by off of NASA themselves. And I've got, 10 or more heavy-duty reports that we could go in and take a look at. Just a couple of the abstracts, though. The effects of spacecraft charging can be very detrimental to electronic systems utilized in space missions. Again, the effects of spacecraft charging, picking up this plasma, going into the plasma of space, near-Earth orbit space, by the way. Assuring that the subsystems and systems are protected against charging is an important engineering function necessary to assure mission success. Spacecraft charging is expected to have a significant role in future space activities and programs. This published in 2000. Let's see. This was published in 1995. This is a research paper available, I think, on the web by R.D. Leach, published in 1995 from the NASA Marshall Space Flight Center. The number is, off of page 30. Spacecraft charging is expected to have a significant role in future space activities. Objectives of this reference publication are to present a brief overview of spacecraft charging to acquaint the reader with charging history, including illustrative cases of charging anomalies, and to introduce current specific charging prevention activities of the Electromagnetics and Environments Branch, Marshall Space Flight Center, NASA. Here's another one on spacecraft charging. Again, this is all in regards to the ionosphere and thermosphere from NASA publications. The effects of the natural space environments on spacecraft design, development, and operation are the topic of a series of NASA reference publications currently being developed by the Electromagnetics and Environments Branch. This primer, second in the series, describes the interactions between a spacecraft and the natural space plasma. Under certain environmental spacecraft conditions, these interactions result in the phenomena known as spacecraft charging. It is the focus of this publication to describe the phenomena and its possible adverse effects on spacecraft and to present the key elements of a spacecraft charging effects protection plan. Again, 1990s. Here's another one. Another abstract, shuttle plasma. Now they're talking about the space shuttle plasma, electromagnetic environment, SEMPI. As a part of the SEMPI, the Solar Array Module Plasma Interaction Experiment Program, the Langmuir probe, LP, was employed to measure plasma characteristics during the flight SC-62. The whole set of data could be divided into two parts, low-frequency sweeps to determine voltage current characteristics, and to find electron temperature and the numbers and densities. High frequency turbulence, that's important. Those are those winds, but they're gravitational winds, actually. They're like gravitational waves. They're waves in the magnetosphere. Data caused by electromagnetic noise around the shuttle. The broadband noise was observed at frequencies 250 to 20,000 hertz. Measurements were performed in RAM conditions. Thus, it seems reasonable to believe the influence of spacecraft operations on plasma parameters was minimized, and it goes on. But there's a lot. There's many of these reports that you can just go and download and to your heart's content and read and read and read and read. So that's that. Here's a little bit more. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness, we already have that. Here's another one. The Earth's atmosphere. Earth is protected by a blanket of air or gases called the atmosphere. The Earth's atmosphere is a mixture of gases, solids, liquids that surrounds the planet. And it goes on and talks through various and sundry parts of this. Another important gas, ozone, is a form of oxygen that absorbs most of the ultraviolet radiation that enters the Earth's atmosphere. Ultraviolet radiation can cause skin cancer, genetic mutations, and cataracts. Jet emissions, fallout from nuclear explosions, some fertilizers, and fluorocarbons, the author writes, can destroy the ozone molecules. Dropping down through here in the back of the article, structure of the atmosphere. They go through the troposphere, the stratosphere, the mesosphere, and the thermosphere. The thermosphere extends from about 80 kilometers upwards into space. Temperatures in the thermosphere increase quickly because of absorption of energy from the sun. The thermosphere is divided into two parts, the ionosphere and the exosphere. And then it continues. The ionosphere is a layer of electrically charged particles that begin, so we know that. These charged particles are useful communications because at night they reflect radio waves. During the day, radio reception is terrible over long distances because the waves are absorbed. Wow. I guess you're not going to go, radio, radio, Houston, we got a problem. We'll be right back.
Folks, I've got a question for you. Do you force yourself out of bed each morning and drag throughout the day? Do you grab for that sugar pick-me-up only to later crash and feel even more tired? Well, I've got the solution for you. Put a zip in your day and zap your appetite. Reclaim your get-up-and-go with Zip and Zap. Let me tell you what you'll notice in immediate benefits. It ramps up your workouts. Well, if you work out. Turns off your hunger, elevates your mood, helps you to resist fattening foods, and gives you a smooth flow of energy with no crash. The testimonials? Colin in Illinois lost 30 pounds in 8 weeks, didn't work out. Susie in Missouri, 10 pounds in 20 days, she didn't work out. Anna in California did work out and went from a size 14 to a size 4 in 90 days. If you want results like this, working out or not, order Zip and Zap now and also ask about Lametco International's first line of defense products. Tell him Michael Herzog sent you. Call 1-800-933-2565. That's 1-800-933-2565.
In this two-disc DVD, Obama, Cloning, and the Coming Space War, Freeman takes you on a roller coaster ride of ancient technology and conspiracy, outlining the Obama administration's movement towards a military space program. Freeman will challenge your very sight as he postulates the theory that our first family may be clones of ancient pharaohs. Explore revelations of Lucifer, occult rituals hidden as political speech, and the acceleration of the weaponization of space for the coming world war. Who is this man we call the president? Will he cause a constitutional crisis? What's hidden within his name and his statements? Is Obama the Antichrist predicted by Nostradamus? Or are things much stranger than they appear? Obama, Cloning, and the Coming Space War. This video will leave you staggered as to how all these possibilities could come true in one moment of time. Be ahead of the curve. Freeman makes projections that could alter the course of history. Get Obama, Cloning, and the Coming Space War now at FreemanTV.com. That's FreemanTV.com.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at SecretRightMovie.com. That's www.SecretRightMovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
We're going into the oppression today. We've taken our promise before. We can do it again.
Thank you.
Hey, and so we're back once again, and I'll give you a little bit more about the ionosphere as well in all of this. You know, all of the people across America are reportedly or supposedly were sitting there watching on their television monitors, watching as the lunar landing module landed and touched down, and then we see all the rest of this stuff. I don't know. I don't remember those days, and in those days I'd already moved away from home and I didn't have a television, so I didn't watch it. But I guess it was broadcast on TV. At least that's what I've seen. But here's an interesting note about the ionosphere again. This has to do with radio. The ionosphere exerts a great influence on the propagation of radio signals. This was known and written about in the Funk and Wagnalls Encyclopedia back in, 1959. The ionosphere exerts a great influence on the propagation of radio signals. Energy which is radiated from a transmitter upward toward the ionosphere is in part absorbed by the ionized air and in part refracted or bent downward again toward the surface of the Earth. Kind of reiterates a previous article, but there's a very interesting conclusion. The bending effect makes possible the reception of radio signals at distances much greater than would be possible of waves which traveled along the surface of the Earth. Such refracted waves, however, reach the Earth only at certain definite distances from the transmitter. The distance depends on the angle of refraction, or the angle of the dangle, I guess, and the altitude. Hence, a radio signal may be receivable at a distance of 500 miles from the transmitter, but inaudible at 100 miles. The phenomena is known as skip. And those of us that are DXers understand that, and hams as well. In certain other areas, the ground wave signals and the refracted signals from the ionosphere may reach the receiver and interfere with each other, producing the phenomena known as fading, and we've all heard that. The amount of refraction in the ionosphere decreases with the frequency, and for very high frequencies is almost non-existent. And so, long-distance transmission of high-frequency radio waves, such as those used for frequency modulation or FM radio, and television is impossible. I'd like that. I guess NASA figured out how to do the impossible. Let's go into it a little bit deeper. And this is just brief material. Out of a 166-page PDF file, which is available on the Internet, this is called the Marshall Engineering Thermosphere MET Model, Technical Description, Volume 1, by R.E. Smith, prepared for the Marshall Space Flight Center, National Aeronautics and Space Administration Marshall Flight Center, and off page 2. I really would have liked to have printed out much more than this, but my printer is getting weak today. It needs to be recharged, new cartridge installed. It goes on and it talks about an 11-year solar cycle variation exists, as well as a 27-day variation in the density related to the average 27-day solar rotation cycle. Variations, however, tend to be slightly longer than 27 days in the solar cycle. When active regions occur more often or more frequently at higher solar latitudes and slightly shorter than 27 days in the solar cycle, when the active regions occur more frequently close to the sun's equator. All that interesting stuff. Coronal holes and active longitudes also affect this average 27-day variation. Might have something to do with launch windows there. Changes in the thermospheric density related to changes in levels of solar and geomagnetic activity, e.g. flares, eruptions, coronal mass ejections, and coronal holes, can begin almost instantaneously, from minutes to hours, although more often a lag of a day or more occurs. So while you're playing around in space, you got Big Brother, the sun, laying out there, which can and does change the rules instantly. Geomagnetic activity, interaction of solar wind with the Earth's magnetosphere, referred to as geomagnetic activity, leads to a high latitude heat and momentum source for the thermospheric gases. Some of this heat and momentum is convected to low latitudes. Geomagnetic activity varies, usually has one peak in activity just prior to another, just after the peak activity of the solar cycle as defined in blah, 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 radio noise flux. Also, larger solar cycle peaks are associated with more intense geomagnetic activity. A seasonal variation, blah, 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 continues. Just let you know that there's a lot more happening there. Rotation of the Earth induces a diurnal or a 24-hour period variation of the diurnal tide in the thermospheric temperatures and densities. There's a tide up there. In temperature, a tide of temperature and density. Due to a lag in response of the thermosphere to the EUV heat source, density maximizes around 2 p.m. local solar time at orbital altitudes. At orbital altitudes. Key phrase. At a latitude approximately equal to the subsolar point. Continues. Harmonics of the diurnal tide are also induced in the Earth's atmosphere. A semi-diurnal tide, or a period of 12 hours, and so on, are important in the lower thermosphere below 160 kilometers. For the semi-diurnal tide, much lower for the Because of the large damping effect of molecular viscosity, these diurnal harmonic tides are not important at orbital altitudes. Orbital altitudes, what are we getting there? Be there in a moment. This variation is believed to be a conduction mode of oscillation driven by semi-annual variation in joule heating in the high-latitude thermosphere. It's believed, they don't know, haven't been there, haven't tested it, it's believed to be. The variation is latitudinally independent and is modified by compositional effects. Interesting stuff. Magnitude and altitude dependence of semi-annual oscillation vary considerably from one solar cycle to the next, and this variation is important at orbital altitudes. Seasonal latitude in the lower thermosphere, these seasonal latitudinal variations are driven in the thermosphere by the dynamics of the lower atmosphere, mesosphere and below. Amplitude of the variation maximizes in the lower thermosphere between about 105 and 120 kilometers and diminishes to zero about 200 kilometers. Although the temperature oscillation amplitude is quite high, corresponding density oscillation amplitude is small, this variation is not important at orbital altitudes. And it continues. And then it talks about the winds. Atmosphere waves. Atmospheric waves have been detected in temperature and density measurements throughout the atmosphere to ground to at least 510 kilometers. That's quite a few, by the way. These fluctuations caused by gravity waves are so named because they are primarily oscillations of the neutral gas for which the restoring force is gravity. A thermospheric gravity wave produces a corresponding wave in the ionosphere known as a traveling ionospheric disturbance. It just gets worse. It doesn't get any better. And it's a very long report. But if you want pure science, go there. Here's a little bit more. And this is important. This talks about a low Earth orbit, an LEO. A low Earth orbit is generally defined as an orbit within the locus extending from the Earth's surface approximately up to an altitude of 2,000 kilometers. Given the rapid orbital decay of objects below approximately 200 kilometers, the commonly accepted definition for an LEO is between 200 and 2,000 kilometers, or anywhere between 124 to 1,240 miles above the Earth's surface. I might just say again that when one aims at the moon is a moving target. It travels around the Earth at more than 2,000 miles an hour, and during the spacecraft's 60-hour journey, the moon moves more than 135,000 miles, therefore the spacecraft must be aimed at a spot in space 135 miles ahead of the moon, and it must reach this spot at the same time the moon does. You ever been to a casino? You know anything about probability? The slightest little trouble and you're 135 miles short.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, still just having a little fun with this moon hoax. Going into it a little bit further here from this Nation Master Encyclopedia article here about a low Earth orbit. It's very important to understand a low Earth orbit. Again, the low Earth orbit is running somewhere between 200 and 2,000 kilometers above the Earth's surface. That's somewhere between 124 and 1,240 miles. Of course, there's really very little happening in the 1,000 to 240 miles range. We're going to see that in a moment. But objects in the LEO encounter atmospheric drag in the form of gases in the thermosphere drag. Well, life is really a drag, right? And that's important to understand because drag is a coefficient when we're talking about rocketry, getting off this planet and getting off the moon, by the way. Of course, they don't have atmosphere around the moon, so they're just having to boost themselves boost themselves away from the moon against the pull of the gravitational pull of the moon. There you go. That would be the way to say it. Continuing here, and then it continues. It talks about high Earth orbits and things like that and so on and so forth. I don't want to get into all the general physics, Delta 5 and things like that. Here we go. Human use. The International Space Station is in a LEO, or a low Earth orbit, that varies from 319.6 kilometers to 346.9 kilometers, or other words, 198 to 215 miles above the Earth's surface. With the exception... This is right out of the article now. With the exception of the project Apollo missions to the moon, and suborbital test flights, such as the early Project Mercury missions and the flight of the X-15 rocket plane, most manned space flights have been in LEO, including all space shuttle and various space station missions. The International Space Station is a research facility currently being assembled in space, blah, blah, blah. And it continues. But everything is happening between this 198 and 215 mile above the Earth orbit. Why? Well, there's lots of technical reasons why, but even with that, they've had nothing but problems. Thinking about space travel, going there and back and all of that. If you go through the list of the launch vehicles, all of the various launch vehicles that they have in this particular article up at the time, 1968, and an article named Space Travel, it begins with the Vanguard, which stood about 70 feet tall total, the Vanguard rocket. And the Vanguard was able to take 50 pounds, its payload, into an Earth orbit. It had 28,000 pounds of thrust. The Saturn V rocket, completely different bird, stood about 360 feet tall, had five, I think they were F1 rockets. It might have been F5 rockets. I don't remember the exact name. But they have five rockets. That's why they called it Saturn V. And it created, or it generated with three stages, it generated 7,500,000 pounds of thrust. And it could take 260 pounds or 260,000 pounds in an Earth orbit. And then they say, or 95,000 pounds to the moon, or 70,000 pounds to Mars or Venus. Of course, that's pure speculation on the part of whoever it was that wrote the article. But then it continues here, and it says, landing on the moon, the earliest lunars and rangers sent to the moon simply crashed on the moon's surface, no doubt, and were destroyed, no doubt, if they even got there. But again, look at the mathematical challenge. Any deviations would have to be corrected. Anything that they encountered leaving the atmosphere would have to, anything they encountered in what, space, they would have to correct. In order to hit that, cross that 135,000 miles, to correct their 137,000 miles, 135,000 miles in 60 hours, they'd have to correct to make sure that they got close to the moon. I know a lot of the people that listen to these broadcasts are riflemen and handgunners. And just think about the aiming accuracy that would be necessary at the time these flights were made, or said to be made, that would have that kind of precision. It's almost mind-boggling. Not to mention whatever kind of deviations might be happening with the moon itself in its orbit. Then it continues down and it says, therefore, the lunar landing craft must carry retro rockets that can be controlled as they lower the spacecraft to the moon's surface. So they're using up some of their fuel there, landing. Getting off the moon is much easier than getting off the Earth. The moon's gravity is only 1/6 that of the Earth. For example, a spacecraft that weighs 6,000 pounds on Earth weighs only 1,000 pounds on the moon, 1/6. To return to the Earth from the moon, a spacecraft must be launched at about 5,400 miles per hour. This speed carries the spacecraft to the point where Earth's gravity begins to pull the craft back to Earth. But getting off the moon, 1/6 of the gravitational pull. Now, the Apollo command module itself, in order to get this thing to come back on the 5,400 miles an hour launch, stood less than 35 feet tall. It was about 33 feet tall. That's it. That's all they got to come home on. And then the Apollo lunar excursion module, which ostensibly left the surface of the moon and got them back into a corresponding orbit with the command module, that little critter stands about 17 feet tall, according to this chart. It's got a big rocket on the bottom of it, but where's all the fuel stored? Again, the Saturn V, which got them into there, stood 360 feet tall, was capable of developing 7,500,000 pounds of thrust. Seems like there's a problem here in the mathematics. even at 1/6 of the height, it would have to be substantially larger than it is just to hold the fuel. Not to mention the fact that these guys are out there on this 60-hour journey one way and then 60 hours back, plus spending a couple of days on the moon, reportedly. Where do they get all the oxygen and the nitrogen? What do they do with the carbon dioxide? How do they recycle the air? I don't see the answer to any of the questions to that in this particular research. So there's a lot involved in that part of it that is not discussed. There's another thing that's going on here in this particular article, where they show the orbital paths on this space travel, the first trip to the moon. After they do the blast off, they drop the first stage. The second stage ignites. The second stage separates, and the third stage ignites. And the third stage and the spacecraft enter a parking orbit. Well, these low Earth orbits are parking orbits. And as we can see, these parking orbits are somewhere in the neighborhood between 200 and 2,000 kilometers, or somewhere between 124 and 1,240 miles above the Earth. But we've seen that the exosphere, the thermosphere, and the ionosphere prohibit travel into those zones. And even our International Space Station is running about 200 miles above the Earth. So let's say they did get into a parking orbit, as this diagram shows, and then they fire a third stage, which fires the vehicle and heads to the moon. Well, even if they were in a parking orbit around the Earth and fired their third stage, they still have to go through the exosphere. They still have to go through the thermosphere, the ionosphere, in order to exit out. So what's with this parking orbit? Why even discuss it? But then once they do that, they come out and they have to go into an orbit of the moon. They turn the command module and service around. They do a docking thing and all of that. Then the third stage separates and the course is corrected and then retrofires into a lunar orbit, and then the spacecraft enters a parking orbit around the moon. The crew transferred to an excursion module. They separated from that, and the excursion model descends and touches down on the moon. And then they repeat all of that. I'm here to tell you, there's just nowhere near enough fuel on board to do all of this, in my opinion, looking at this the way that it is. And from the standpoint of the temperatures, the heat, and all of that that's up there, I think that it was just a bunch of poppycock. Now, another thing that's important to understand is that using one of these Saturn V rockets, they put the first space station up there into orbit, and they had nothing but problems. They had solar panels breaking off. They lost their heat shield, the blanket that stops meteorites and the thermal temperature. And even at that very low altitude, a low Earth orbit, the temperature in the cabin of that unit went up over 175 degrees, and they played bloody hell trying to get it all fixed, but it took some time for them to come back and occupy that space. They had to come back prepared to deal with those troubles. But miraculously, we went all the way to the moon and back after landing on it, running around with the dune buggy, and didn't seem to have any of those troubles. But up there on the other side.
You invest. You buy insurance. You wear your seatbelt. You do things to ensure your family's future and protection. But why? Just in case? With the current state of affairs, ask yourself, am I ready? Preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com. SurvivalGearSource.com has a huge selection of vital products, emergency survival kits, gas masks, MREs, products for pet care, your car, home, office, and school. Protect against pandemics, all natural disasters, and terror attacks that can happen at any time. If you're not prepared, the last place you want to be is standing in a FEMA line. Invest in your future now. Visit SurvivalGearSource.com or call 877-231-1925. That's 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. That's SurvivalGearSource.com. 877-231-1925. SurvivalGearSource.com. Prepare for tomorrow now, and for a free gift on your first order, enter coupon code ORACLE at checkout. Don't forget, preparation starts at SurvivalGearSource.com.
Hey folks, it's Tony Pax from the Animal Farm Radio Show, and I want to tell you about the company Totally Wicked. Totally Wicked is the leading online worldwide supplier of electronic cigarettes. An electronic cigarette, or e-cigarette, is an alternative to smoked tobacco products such as cigarettes, cigars, or pipes. It is a battery-powered device that provides inhaled doses of nicotine by delivering a vaporized liquid nicotine solution. In addition to nicotine delivery, this vapor also provides a flavor and physical sensation similar to that of inhaled tobacco smoke, even though no tobacco smoke or combustion is actually involved in its operation. Totally Wicked's products not only help a person to regulate their nicotine intake and creates a vapor resembling smoke, but it also looks like a cigarette, thereby helping the user with the psychological and physical habit of holding a regular cigarette. To find out more about the great products that Totally Wicked has to offer, please visit totallywicked-eliquid.com or email them at info@totallywicked-eliquid.com.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
So what is immediately apparent by looking at this encyclopedia article that was written in 1968, and I'll remind you one more time, that it was on July the 20th, 1969, when the astronauts Armstrong and Aldrin reportedly set their feet on the moon. But this article talks about the 60 hours that would be necessary to make that travel, but it was considerably more than that. Just a year later. But what's very interesting about this article is that this article is just about textbook for what the media then portrayed as being the actual event. So it's rather interesting. They had it pretty well in mind what they were going to share with the people and what they needed to teach in schools and what they wanted to have in the encyclopedias even a year before the event. Of course, if the first mission had gone off, they wouldn't have had to wait so long to this one, the Apollo 11. The other one, one of the early ones, burned up on the launch pad. Pure oxygen filling the capsule, probably an assassination. Anyway, this is the another document I pulled down a long time ago. This was back in 01, June the 15th of 2001. Got this one was actually researched for me by someone else and sent to me. But this is off the website www.nara.gov, and this is the National Archives and Records Administration online exhibit hall, and this is the featured document, Apollo 11 flight plan, commemorating the 30th anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing. Here we are now commemorating the 40th. This is what it says. The flight plan for Apollo 11 was a minute-by-minute timeline of activities for the mission crew, Neil Armstrong, Mike Collins, and Edwin Buzz Aldrin, and Mission Control in Houston. The flight was scheduled or launched July the 16th of 1969. Touchdown on the moon took place as scheduled on July the 20th. 102 hours, 47 minutes, and 11 seconds after the launch from Cape Kennedy. The astronauts spent 21 hours and 36 minutes on the moon and then returned to the Earth on July the 24th. They were gone, 8 days. Launched on the 16th, returned on the 24th. All of the oxygen, all of the nitrogen, all the carbon dioxide, all of the various and sundries that they needed for life had to be on board there that whole time. and that, even in compressed gases, would take up a considerable amount of room, not to mention all the fuel, which would have been necessary. The flight plan below describes tasks to be done 102 to 103 hours into the flight. Immediately after landing, Armstrong and Aldrin reviewed their lunar contact checklist and reached a decision on stay or no stay. Armstrong then reported to Houston, the Eagle has landed. Now, how was that transmission made? Flight plans, officially known as flight data files for Apollo 8 to Apollo 17 and other records relevant to the Apollo programs, are in the custody of NARA's Southwest Region in Fort Worth, Texas, NAR Record Group 255, if there's any data scourers out there that want to go and dig this out. And then it continues. I'm not going to go through the flight plan. It is very poor copy, and it really takes a magnifying glass to read through it. And then it continues. This is supposedly is one of 185 pages in the plan, and each page represents 1 hour of the Apollo 11 flight, 185 hours. And then it continues. And it has that photograph that everybody looks at with Richard Nixon and the three astronauts. One is smiling, one looks like he's probably lost a family member, and the other one looks like he's completely confused. But we've reported on that. Lee Rogers has been talking all about that one. But anyway, there's just so much. And we haven't even really begun to even discuss the so much. But even in this encyclopedia article, they've already got all the flight plans and all the discussions and the dialogues about going to Venus and Mars. They're really building up in the minds of the young people that would be reading this kind of a book the concept that we can do all of this and we can do it so simply. They've got some wonderful photographs, black and whites, stills, etc. They talk about all of the various rockets and rocketry. And this is just one of dozens of articles throughout these various encyclopedia sets. One of the things I like about studying out of the encyclopedias is that they do then go ahead and reference the other articles. They tell you where else to look: astronautics, aviation medicine, Brooks Air Force Base, Cape Kennedy, centrifugal forces, communication satellites, cosmic rays, gravitation, guided missiles, heat shields, international years of the quiet sun, jet propulsion, manned spacecraft centers, meteors, moons, orbit, planet, radiation, relativity, rockets, solar energy, solar systems, and telemetering. Interesting stuff. And then, you know, it just to me, it's like when you look at what is reported in the news and what the average man on the street, how they perceive the things they hear in the news, I find it just sad that the idea of keeping a set of encyclopedias in the home has gone away. And it's really difficult to do this kind of research on the internet sometimes, although there are hot links in articles. But unless you just happen to hit the right hot link, you might not find the rest of the story. So there are times when even this old troglodyte digging through books can unearth things, even commonly understood things that others might not find, but certainly on the internet, if you have a mind to do so, if you want to follow the science and understand some of this, there's lots out there. So when we talk about Star Wars and space-based weaponry and all of this other stuff, realize that, you know, we need to know who we are and whose we are, but we also need to know where we are. We're on a planet I think that would be exceedingly difficult to get away from. It might be a prison planet. It certainly protects us. It offers and affords all manner and sundry of protection, and it affords us the opportunity to live on this. I like to think of it as a vacation planet. But most of what's going to happen in space, and most of what has happened in space, occurs at very low Earth orbits. Yeah, they look like it's way out there when you see the photographs, but it's not way out there. As a matter of fact, it's in quite close, but it's way out there as far as where man is going to be able to travel. Look how hard it was to get the Hubble Space Telescope installed and functioning. How hard it was to get the first little space station in place. How difficult it's been to get the space shuttles up and back without having difficulties and loss of life. I did find a movie on the internet. You might want to go and look at it. www.moonmovie.com. It's a website. You can look at the previews. There are some films, some DVDs that you can purchase if you're really interested. But that website, if you want to go there after the broadcast, www.moonmovie.com, will give you some pretty hard and fast stuff out there in this world of moon hoax conspiracy theorists. Some of the stuff that's out there that's already been covered 1,000 ways to Sunday. I think there's a lot of questions that are unanswered here. We've got a lot of unanswered questions when it comes to the USS Liberty, John Kennedy, and all of the various and sundries that came down with 9/11 and all of that. But the big world just continues to grind on forward. Last week, the Senate passed a hate crimes bill that may alter the way that we do radio. It's not as nearly horrific as you might think initially, but it is like the nose of the camel under the tent. It's an indicator of where we're going in the future. Here's a quick article off of the JTA, the global news source of the Jewish people, by the way. July the 17th, 2009, Washington, the Senate approved legislation that would expand federal involvement in investigating hate crimes by a 63-28 vote on Thursday. The measure was attached to the defense authorization bill, considered must-pass legislation by the Senate. Five Republicans joined every Democrat present to vote in favor. The Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act would permit greater federal involvement in investigating hate crimes and expand the federal definition of such crimes to include those motivated by gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, and disability. There's stuff happening in space, folks, and there's stuff happening right around YouTube. Enjoy this broadcast. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. You're using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com. You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.